Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is hour number three. Welcome to it, our third and final live right here on this Monday on the early line on Sports Grid. We continue our reaction to the 2024 NBA Finals in Boston, winning game number two last night by 7, 105-98. The Celtics now two wins away with a 2-0 series lead from championship number 18, the most all-time in association history. Will they do it rather quickly? Like in only four games, a sweep. We'll hear from the people in just a moment. We'll get the prop perspective with Tom Vecchio on this Monday. The jack of all trades, NBA action, Stanley Cup final, Major League Baseball plays, and Donnie Wrightside gets in the lab as well. WOBA, XFIP, all of that for an MLB Monday slate. Although Donnie does want to caution, not his favorite card of all time.
Not my favorite card of all time, but I'm sure we'll be able to uncover some gems here. Nonetheless, we got big-time hockey action, a lot of good things going on that we can make money on, which does include, hopefully, being able to talk about the NBA more than just another couple days here. Let's get a W by the Mavericks somewhere. And by the way, Ben, are favored to win game number three, so we'll anticipate that as well. But a big hour number three on deck. Let's get started.
You know, the Celtics have been an underdog only three times in this NBA season, twice against the Milwaukee Bucks, on the road in the Pfizer Forum, most recently at the beginning of April. Trivia time on this Monday on the early line. Three times this year, the Celtics as an underdog. I already share twice against Giannis, Dame, and Milwaukee. Can you name me the other team that Boston was an underdog against throughout the 2023-24 NBA campaign?
Maybe the Sixers at home? Who would it be?
No.
Out in Denver?
The Sacramento Kings on the road at the end of December, in which Boston was not at full strength, and they won that game outright. I think they scored 140 in Sacktown against the Kings. 1-2 straight up. The Celtics right now booked as a dog for game number three. So as we have the Celtics as an underdog, even ever so slightly on those money line numbers, the odds makers would say that Dallas gets at least one at home in the 2024 NBA Finals. Does the public agree? Will the Celtics sweep in the 2024 NBA Finals? That was the question. And fade the public. Will the Celtics sweep the Mavericks in the 2024 NBA Finals? That was our question to you at Sports Grid. Simple answers, yes or no. Most of the public, Donnie, more than 71% of the public vote is saying no, the Celtics will not sweep. Most of the people saying that we will not see a sweep in only four games. Frenchie Betts replying in the comments saying they haven't even played in Dallas yet. I would agree, Frenchie. I voted for no as well. What say you, DRS?
Yeah, I voted no as well. And that 71% here, I think we're on the right side of this. So we are not going to fade the public in this instinct. And I do agree with that because we haven't played in Dallas yet. And what did you see out of the first two games here? Obviously, we know Luka Doncic is playing well, but nobody else is. We always talk about the B-level players playing much better at home than they do on the road. And also taking a look at the odds in the first two games, 6 points, 7 points. You're supposed to win at home court by that margin. Now you take a look at home court advantage for the Mavericks. They're a favorite at the FanDuel Sports Facebook. So they're supposed to win this game. And apparently, without any injuries, even without this game, you know, let's just say it doesn't go the Mavericks' way, the Mavericks probably going to be a favorite again in game number four. So, yes, statistically, they should pick up a victory. And we're not asking the question, does this go seven games or six? It's just, will the Celtics sweep the Mavericks? And I don't think that's possible. I do think the Mavericks, I actually think the Mavericks win game number three. And also, I think Kyrie Irving has a big game in game number three as well. How about that?
Has to happen, right? It has to happen. Luka Doncic was the best player in this series entering. Luka Doncic has been the best player in this series so far. Luka Doncic is the best player in the NBA Finals from here on out. Kyrie Irving is the key. We said it. JY said it. I think you could ask anybody that has watched the NBA Finals, talking head or not, and they would say Kyrie Irving is the difference. If he can score 25 or 30, Dallas has a chance to win a single game. And that was the question to the public. Will the Celtics sweep in only four? I wonder what the assessment would be, DRS, if we asked something more along the lines of, will it be a gentleman's sweep? How many games will we see for the remainder of the NBA Finals? Because I believe, although the public is saying we haven't played a game in Dallas yet and the Mavs can get one, I don't know if they get two. I don't know if they get to seven. I don't think there's any chance the Mavericks win an NBA championship, because that's how I feel. I don't believe Dallas is going to get swept. But do I think there is a world that Dallas wins the NBA title? No. If you were to ask me what is more likely in a match bet, a Celtics sweep or a Dallas championship, it's a Celtics sweep.
Yeah, probably in that direction as well. And also, we're taking a look at the injuries that we're looking forward to, like Porzingis. Will he play in game number three? Well, also, I want to see these game day reports once again on Luka Doncic that tell me that he's probable to questionable to doubtful and he can barely move around. That certainly doesn't help, because the one thing we do know is if you're injured, you're not putting in a lot of work in practice the very next day. So Luka Doncic might be running on fumes right now, which is better than 90% of the NBA players. But against the Boston Celtics, he has to be at 100% and playing dominant basketball to give them a chance. He's been good numbers wise in games one and two, hasn't amounted to any victories here. So if he's great again in game number three with a 30-point triple double, still no guarantees they can get it done. And also the opposite end of the spectrum, like the Celtics did play very well in game number one, played, I don't know, below average, I guess you could even say, in game number two. We had a great performance by Jrue Holiday, and Porzingis gave you some bump off the bench, but they weren't great and still won that game. I'm waiting here to see, like, there's a possibility that the Celtics go on the road and Tatum and Brown really turn on that gas pedal and you don't get that effort out of Kyrie Irving that you're looking for. Then we might be heading down the barrel of a sweep. But I do think good things are playing for the Mavericks. And Friday, when we talked about it, we were both on the same page. We're going to bet the Dallas Mavericks in game number three. And I got to tell you, when I saw those reports of Luka Doncic's downgrade, I'm like, this game might be a 25-point blowout if he doesn't play and they rest him for, let's just say, game number three. Didn't happen here, but I voted for no. Right. I don't think we're going to see a sweep here in the NBA Finals.
I bet Dallas plus seven on Friday morning during the early line, reacting to game number one in an 18-point blowout in Boston for the C's. So I pushed, but the Celtics ultimately do cover as a 6.5-point favorite in game number two. That was the closing spread in the Celtics' favor. Again, Boston an underdog for a rare fourth time only throughout this NBA season. And Donnie, the Celtics were the favorites to win the series minus 225 before we began entering game two last night. Boston in five, a gentleman's sweep was the most likely outcome, the shortest correct score at plus 240. Now it's Boston in five at plus 175. I also bet the over of 5.5 total games at minus 132. Now the under of that total games over under has the juice at minus 152, four or five. And I think it's hard to fault the odds makers. But as I look at this series, if there is a chance for Dallas, it is Kyrie Irving. It is the supporting staff helping Luka Doncic. And that seems pretty standard, pretty clear and obvious. But if you're looking at Boston, Jason Tatum has not been great. Jaylen Brown's been okay. He scored 20-plus in each of the first two. But if you're looking for that MVP, game one it was Kristaps Porzingis. Last night it was Jrue Holiday. And Derek White hit four triples. That's the most intriguing thing to me. Who wins the NBA Finals MVP in what feels like Boston claiming championship number 18?
Yeah, exactly. Like, if it were Dallas to win the NBA championship, obviously that's going to be Luka. But now you have a lot of irons in the fire right now as we take a look at the Boston Celtics. And it almost feels like who's going to take that lead? Because if we do go 3-0, and let's just say Porzingis does play and plays well, or Holiday does play and plays well in that game, that'll be an interesting game number four to see who actually gets that award. So we do have some intrigue, even if it is possibly going to be a sweep. We just hope it's not going to be a sweep at this point.
And the Celtics were 10 of 39 from three last night. They make five more. It's a blowout. It's just a lot of things that could happen ahead of game three. But it's college baseball conversation next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Spending some time to talk some baseball in hour number three. Now, we covered a lot from Major League Baseball earlier today. Some interesting stuff in London, in the Bronx, New York. But also, it's Super Regional Weekend this weekend, which just about has come to a close. But only one more game left on the docket. Intrigue all the way around. We were hoping for some upsets. Got close here. But some of those big-name teams are showing up in Omaha. I thoroughly enjoyed it this weekend, keeping tabs on it. Also, watching an unbelievable game yesterday from Florida and Clemson. Tremendous stuff all the way through. And it feels like it's not even anticlimactic. These series have been so good through the regionals and super regionals that you're like, okay, is this done yet? No, we still have the College World Series, Ben, on deck here.
Yeah, Donnie, it's a great point. Seven of the eight spots in the Men's College World Series in Omaha starting on Friday have already been taken. We are not going to get a ton of winner-take-all game threes on what could be the final day of the Super Regionals on this Monday. One game three in Athens between Georgia and NC State, but despite seven of the eight spots booked and those tickets punched to Omaha, we have seen a thrilling weekend. On Saturday, Evansville, the number four seed, knocked off the number one national seed in Tennessee in the Knoxville Regional. The Purple Aces were one win away from becoming just the fourth ever number four seed since seeding began in this format in 1999 to make the Men's College World Series. But Tennessee bounced back with a 12-1 onslaught yesterday against Evansville. So Tony Vitello and his Volunteers, the number one national seed, on to Omaha. To Donnie's point, hope you caught the game yesterday. A 13-inning thriller between Florida and Clemson. The Gators walked off in extra innings 11-10. But Clemson was down 9-6. The best comeback team in the country. 25 come-from-behind victories this season. The most nationally. Cam Cannarella hits a three-run home run in the top of the ninth to extend it. And in extra innings, makes a Willie Mays over-the-shoulder bucket catch falling into the wall. One of the best grabs you will ever see in any baseball game, collegiate or otherwise, to keep the Tigers' season afloat for at least a couple more innings, only for Florida to advance. Jack Caglione, if you don't know the name, get to know it. He is an absolute freak of nature. And today in Athens, you will see Charlie Condon. They're probably going to go 1-2 in the MLB draft here next month.
Yeah, so exciting times all the way through. Just about set here now. As we take a look at the 2024 College World Series odds, before we get there, Ben, when does the series actually start? Is it the weekend? Do we take a couple days off? What's the next deal for us? So we go, okay, so we'll go Friday with that.
I believe we get the start. Yeah.
Good. We'll go with that. So a nice little weekend set up here. Now, as we take a look at the favorites, and even though we don't know all eight seeds just yet, Texas A&M plus 270, Tennessee plus 280, Kentucky at plus 460, or followed by North Carolina at a plus 650 price. Are we lining up these odds here at the FanDuel Sportsbook appropriately, or is there going to be some value on the board once we get all eight set here for Omaha?
So if you believe in the most talented team that Georgia has had in some time, 16-1 with the best player in baseball, Charlie Condon, is a very large price. But the Bulldogs, of course, today at home have to win this winner-take-all game three against NC State. Odds weirdly not out yet for that finale in super regional action to determine that eighth and final spot in Omaha. As you saw the College World Series bracket as well, a reminder, super regional weekend is a little bit different. Best of three three series between two teams at those eight super regional sites. The bracket in Omaha is a double elimination format where you would go through the winner's bracket if you stay perfect into a CWS finals or emerge out of the loser's bracket trying to avoid that second loss that would end your time in the Big O. So the bracket is already starting to set up. It is going to be, by the way, an all ACC and SEC affair. At this current point, we have four SEC teams, three from the ACC, NC State, ACC, Georgia, of course, SEC, that to be determined. I do find it interesting that Tennessee, the number one national seed, was tested by the Purple Aces of Evansville this weekend, but it's still into Omaha and no longer the favorites as they were entering the Super Regionals. It is now A&M. Texas A&M in a high-scoring 15-9 game yesterday against Oregon wins both in College Station. They were down to the Ducks yesterday, a 9-run seventh inning that featured a grand salami from Caden Kent for the Aggies as well. Now A&M the favorite. Kentucky into their first ever College World Series, the number two seed nationally. They look very, very stout. And North Carolina has had magic in Chapel Hill. Vance Honeycutt has been a walking walk-off for UNC throughout both the regional round and into the Super Regionals. Keep an eye on UNC. And if I may, DRS, the reason I love college baseball so much is because I spent 2 years working in Omaha, Nebraska, covering the College World Series, the greatest 2 weeks that you will ever have in the Big O. In my first year there, Florida State, under Mike Martin, made it to the College World Series. In fact, it was one of the 17 trips that Mike Martin, the legendary skipper for FSU, brought the Noles to. Mike Martin passed away this past February at the age of 79. He retired at the end of 2019 after 40 seasons as Florida State's head coach that featured one final run to the CWS in 2019. This is the first trip for the Seminoles since 11 passed away. Known affectionately as 11, it was his jersey number as that head coach for Florida State. So there will be some emotions in Omaha for the Noles as well. It is shaping up to be a great field, though, at the Men's College World Series this upcoming weekend.
Now, let me ask you this question, though. 1 through 8 as we're seated here. Jello shots are a big deal in Omaha. Do we have a breakdown on which fan base is going to be bringing the heat with the Jello shots here?
It's a great question. LSU last year absolutely set the world on fire, and the Tigers did win a national championship. So part of it is not only how your fan base can drink and tailgate, but how long you expect to be in Omaha. Yeah. I still think Tennessee has a great shot of at least reaching the CWS finals. I think the Vols top the board right now. You would have to think the two schools from the Sunshine State in Florida State and Florida can get the job done as well. I'll have my men's CWS and Rocco's Jello Shot Challenge power rankings out after tonight when we get that final spot booked in the Omaha 8. College baseball, my repertoire. MLB, that's DRS next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So after a marquee matchup this weekend in the Bronx, the Yankees fly out after avoiding a sweep in the series finale against the Dodgers to Kansas City to take on the Royals in Kauffman. KC had a chance to sweep Seattle this weekend, but the Mariners win the finale in extras. So we have a matchup between actually two of the better teams in the American League at this moment. DRS, three teams in the AL have won 40-plus games. The Yankees with the most in baseball, 46. The Baltimore Orioles now 42. The Guardians over that 40-win threshold with 42. The Royals one win away from the 40-win benchmark, but booked as an underdog at home tonight against New York. 8.5 is the total. Seth Lugo on the bump. Seth Lugo at Kauffman with a plus money price. Give me Kansas City.
Yeah, you might be right on that because you also take a look at that sometimes that Sunday night Major League Baseball layover. That was a big-time series between the Yankees and the Dodgers. A lot of hype around it, a lot of terrible hats making their way around social media with Ohtani and Judge on the same hat. I don't know who bought those hats, but my goodness here. But let's get back to the game tonight. You might have that jet lag. Did you see the hats? somebody, the producers can probably bring it up. If you can do this quickly, obviously not right now, but bring up the hat that caused a lot of stir here and who would actually buy. It's Ohtani and it's Judge on the same hat. So we'll get back to that in a bit. But let's handicap this game overall.
Okay,
Carlos Rodon's on the mound, left-handed pitcher. You take a look at him, 115 at-bats or batters that he's faced over the past month, a 160 ISO, which is below average, which is fine, but a 250 weighted on base percentage. He's actually improved as the season has moved on. But you do have a lineup today for the Kansas City Royals that does hit left-handed pitching quite well. Five to six guys in that lineup with some pretty high weighted on base percentages here. Maybe the best of it, of course, it's Bobby Witt Jr., 18 at-bats against lefties over the past month, a 353 ISO power number, pretty good. How about Nelson Velasquez, right-handed batter, 353 also on his ISO power number, so they might be able to get down. Those Yankees bats, and included in the starting lineup tonight, anticipated? How about Juan Soto? Be interesting if he gets back in the number today. But two good pitchers. Seth Lugo has been very good. I believe he got roughed up a little bit in his last start, but outside of that, has been very, very good. So if I'm looking at that 8.5 number, I'm probably leaning under in this game tonight, but that could change. If Soto's back in that lineup and healthy, you got the first six batters in that lineup doing a lot of damage against right-handed pitching over the past month. So that could sway my opinion.
Yeah, Seth Lugo still this year, 9-1 with a 2.13 ERA, but not his best outing last week for KC. Do like that plus money price. Fourth and final game of their weekend set that is now carried over into a Monday between the Orioles and the Rays at the Trop. Baltimore looking to make it a perfect 4-0 sweep with Corbin Burns on the bump, and the O's booked as greater than $1.5 favorite. Total 7.5 tonight in Tampa. Will the O's complete the sweep over the Rays?
It looks like they might. I mean, hey, if you got your stopper on the mound, which is Corbin Burns, and you're not stopping a losing streak, you don't want to stop the win streak here, so you want to keep moving. You take a look at his past 30 days, 128 batters that he's faced, an 067 ISO power number, microscopic, and a weighted on base percentage of 261. He has been phenomenal. Also, you line up that Rays offense against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days, it's not very good. Best guy in the lineup there looks like it's Josh Lowe at a 237 ISO power number. You see Diaz and Lau, 160 and 156 respectively there. That's not a great hitting lineup. And anytime we turn on the Baltimore Orioles, you know, Pepiot has had some decent statistics this season, maybe struggling a little bit with those xFIP minus numbers, but the first six guys in the lineup, ISO power number wise tonight against right-handed pitching over the past month, 373, 208, 278, 175, 329, and 218. This lineup should do damage at the plate. The better pitchers on the mound for the Baltimore Orioles, they should take care of business tonight.
Adley Rutschman capped off a six RBI game yesterday with a grand slam that really put it out of reach for the 9-2 victory in the eighth. All right, I'm hearing reports that we have the hat that Donnie was referring to, the Aaron Judge Shohei Ohtani hat. What is that?
But here's the worst
Why
part about
is it, in
it though.
Yankee...
Like, that's what I'm saying. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, it. At least you can make it
even like
worse by adding two different colors, correct? But it looks like it's just like, is that foreshadowing, which means at some point Judge and Ohtani will play for the Yankees together? Like, do they know something we don't?
What is it, after the 10-year, $700 million contract that Shohei has deferred, where he's going to own the Dodgers when all
that?
Said and done?
Like, I need
where
to
was that?
Yeah, well,
oh,
yes.
Wow, that's,
like,
yeah,
you didn't see
no
that?
Doubt.
Ben,
you
I'm
guys didn't hear what our producer
you
said.
You didn't buy that. Yeah, you didn't buy that at the ballpark. Why did you buy that?
When you first said the terrible hats that people were wearing, if you remember our conversation on Friday, I told you I lost my L.A. hat and was going to be wearing the hat of a bar in Los Angeles so people knew my Southern California ties, which led to you putting on a visor. So
no,
at first, I thought you were taking a shot at
me. Why don't you buy another Dodgers hat? Why don't you buy another Dodgers hat?
Good point. Prop perspective next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A prop perspective to start off a new week live right here on this Monday on the early line. That can only mean one thing. It's the jack of all trades from FanDuel. Tom Vecchio joins us on TEL to start off this new week, but also look back on the weekend that was. Game two of the 2024 NBA Finals. Game one of the 2024 Stanley Cup Final. Ahead of game number two tonight in Sunrise between the Panthers and the Oilers. And maybe an MLB bet from the home run prop Prop King on this Monday as well. Vecchio, as always, we appreciate the time. Hope the weekend was good.
Thanks for having me. It was a solid weekend. I got to say, the Mavericks are looking to be in a bit of a tough spot. I have faith in the Oilers. Lots to get to today. Let's go.
So, Vecchio, let's start with game number two, 105-98. The Celtics victorious, and they take a 2-0 series advantage. Boston does cover as a closing 6.5-point favorite for a second consecutive game. Pre-game total at 215-plus does stay well under. What has the biggest story of the first two games of the NBA Finals been in your estimation?
If Jason Tatum is going to be held to under 20 points and in both games, and the Celtics are still winning, the Mavs are cooked. Like, if they are being this efficient and everyone else is chipping in, doing just a little bit, it was a big game from Porzingis in game one. It was Holiday last night. Brown's doing his thing. We're getting some consistent scoring from White, rebounding from Horford. If everyone else is doing their thing and Tatum's still being largely held in check, this is going to be a 4-1 series. So it is getting late early for the Mavs, I guess you want to say. Like, they have to get something going, and someone else has to help Luka because he is doing everything he possibly can, and someone else needs to step up and get some scoring going. Or, like I said, this is going to be a quick series.
Yeah, Tom, it doesn't look good right now for the Dallas Mavericks, but they do head back to their home court here. We'll see if they can get some good home court cooking. But also, let me ask you this question. You take a look at the finals money line and series prices here, where you're saying to yourself, is there a buy-in chance that you possibly could have on Dallas? Because as we take a look at that graphic, it's a plus 660 price if you buy in on Dallas. Boston is such a heavy favorite at minus 1,000. Do any of these price points pique your interest right now?
Well, I have the Mavs at plus 1.5 on the series. So, you know, I would have to get into the Celtics winning, 4-1 or 4-2 to look at some potential hedge opportunities. I think that's probably the best call to go, maybe 4-1. You think the Mavs sneak out one game just because of the home momentum. But ultimately, the Celtics will then right the ship in game four. They close that in five. So that's probably the best spot to go. And ultimately, it comes down to if you have other series bets on the line. I have the Mavs plus 1.5. I have the series going seven games. So I got to do some math in terms of figuring out what's the best way to hedge. And ultimately, there might not be a way to hedge at this point. The Celtics are just too good and going to run away with this series.
So, Vecchio, it's getting late early, and it certainly is. The Celtics up with that 2-0 series advantage as we get ready for game number three in two nights, a Wednesday in Dallas as we change venue for the first time. The Mavs booked as actually a short 1.5-point favorite on the spread, minus 122 on the money line. The odds makers, even if ever so slightly, expect Dallas to get at least one back at home in the Lone Star State. If that happens, what is the reason why?
It's probably because someone else, maybe it's Derrick Jones, maybe it's PJ Washington, maybe it's Lively, like someone else has to do a little bit more on offense alongside Luka, and Kyrie really needs to come out and score at a more consistent rate. He scored, 8 points in the first quarter last night, like got off to a good start. We, you know, thought they were going to keep the game close. They were within 2 points at the end of the first quarter, whatever it was, and then just, you know, fell off. So it has to be at a more consistent rate. And you can say that at any time. They started off game one, the first seven or so minutes, pretty strong, and then they just fell apart. So, like, everyone needs to do just a little bit more rebounding, knocking down more threes would be great. Obviously, they're not super efficient either with the Celtics in game two. So it has to just be like step by step. It can't just be an avalanche of shots all at once. It has to be doing the little things right to put together a full, you know, four quarters of a game.
We take a look at game number three, and in the first two games, obviously the Celtics have home court advantage and were favored by 6 and 7 points respectively. But now we see a flip over, and the Dallas Mavericks are favorites in game number three. Number one, Tom, do you agree with that? And also, number two, what's your approach to game number three?
Now, I think that's fine. I wouldn't expect too much scoring in this game. I think the 1.5 points is fine. If you want to take the Celtics, you just think they're too good and they're going to end up covering, you get them at plus money. I think that's also fine. Ultimately, from a player prop perspective, I want to go to Horford over 6.5 rebounds and sitting at plus 114. You know, Porzingis was at 6 and 4 rebounds in the first two games. That means he hit the under in both the games. And if he's not going to be, out there primarily as a shooter, like he's not going to be crashing the boards on every single time he's out there, that means Horford is going to be that primary rebounder. So I'll just roll with what's working right now, and that's Horford rebounding and Porzingis scoring.
So Horford is the look for game number three. What is your favorite prop? Because we won't speak again, at least here on the early line, until well after Wednesday night.
Yeah, that would be Horford over 6.5 rebounds at plus 114. Like I said, if you know we look at Porzingis in terms of field goal attempts per minute, like he's on the court, they get him the ball, he shoots. That is his role. He's great at blocking shots, great as a rim defender. But again, I'm worried about his knee. Like every time you're showing a slow-mo replay, I'm looking at his legs. Like crashing the boards shouldn't be his priority. It should be everyone else doing that so they can keep him out there for that 20 to 25 minutes. They can be effective when he's out there.
All right, let's flip it over to the ice, and we'll go down to South Florida. We have a 1-0 series lead by the Panthers here. Game number two setting up with Edmonton and Florida at the FanDuel Sportsbook. We actually had an opening number, the minus 152 price in the favor of Florida. That's now dipped to a minus 140 price and a total of 5.5. Does this series get evened up tonight on the ice here, Tom?
I think it does, and Oilers played really well in game one. Total shot attempts were in favor of the Oilers, 70-42. High danger shot attempts were in favor of the Oilers, 18-6. We look at the Oilers, 3.74 expected goals, and the Panthers at 1.85. So besides scoring, the Oilers did a whole lot right, and that last goal was an empty net goal. So really, it was a 2-0 game. They did a lot right. They limited chances for the Panthers, who have been unbelievable at generating chances over the past two series, as we saw. So I like the Oilers to record at 10-plus shots in the first period, which we saw them do in game one. 10 in the first, 9 shots in the second, sitting at plus 112. I think they have to come out with that energy, because if they give up that first goal, that crowd's going to get behind them. The Panthers are just going to get into the grind, do what they do on the forecheck, and ultimately it's going to be a remake of game one. So the Oilers have to come out with that energy to start the first period.
It was a very clean sheet for Bob. 32 shots faced, 32 saves made by Sergei Bobrovsky. You had there not only the Oilers with 10-plus shots in that opening period, but the best player in hockey, Edmonton's Connor McDavid, finding Twine tonight. Vecchio, if that happens, and you can explain why you are looking at McDavid, does Edmonton even this series with a victory in Game 2?
I think they do. Plus 165 for a McDavid goal is a line we essentially never get. He had 6 shots on goal in game one. As the series goes on, if the scoring is still going to be limited, McDavid's minutes are going to be creeping up a hair here, a hair there, because they can't be rolling the fourth line and the third line too much. If they're literally not scoring, that means more McDavid, more Draisaitl, more Zach Hyman, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. All those players have to do more. So at plus 165 for the best player in the world who had 6 shots on goal in the first game, I will take that every single time.
Conn Smythe Awards here. Let's take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook. How about this? Sergei Bobrovsky to plus 210 price after a game one shutout. And now we see Connor McDavid in second place here in the odds market at a plus 310 price. And then Barkov for the Panthers at plus 340. Sergei Bobrovsky right now looks like he could be that guy. And apparently, look, if he's going to hold them to 2 goals or less in each one of these games here and win a Stanley Cup, it's probably going to be him. Do you agree with Bobrovsky being the favorite? Also, do you think he can actually win this, Conn Smythe?
I think he can. Last week when I was here, I spoke about Carter Verhaeghe at 24-1 to win the Conn Smythe, and that's still going to be my pick. He scored the first goal in the last game, which means it's technically the game-winning goal. So if Bobrovsky gives up a few goals here or there, and you still see Verhaeghe scoring at that high rate and the important goals, that's still going to be my pick. I have that position on Verhaeghe. It was at 24-1. It's now at 19-1. Game-winning goals win you cups. Yes, Bobrovsky is amazing. He's been doing great things. And if he continues to shut them out, he'll win it, of course. But I still got to roll with Verhaeghe as my guy.
Listen, we get a higher scoring series overall outside of the opening game than Verhaeghe at 19-1 makes a lot of sense. Vecchio, 30 seconds left. 7-game MLB slate. What's the best bet?
It's probably going to be Bobby Witt, 2-plus total bases, sitting at minus 125, Ooh. Going up against Carlos Rodon. And I wouldn't mind a Sal Perez home run as well. Rodon, again, gives up 20 fly balls to righties. Really nice hitting weather out there in Kansas City today. See some runs on the Royals side at least tonight.
What about a little lefty on the lefty? Vinny Pasquantino, RBI shot in Kauffman. Maybe could happen. He's our guy. More MLB plays next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Only a 7-game slate on this Monday around Major League Baseball, but still plenty to break down. We start this segment in Milwaukee, where the Brewers are the only team in the National League Central with a winning record at this moment. And the Brew Crew today booked as a home favorite back in Milwaukee, minus 116 on the money line. But the Blue Jays on the other side, not all that far away. It was a pick'em, now 14 cents of difference, minus 116 Brewers, minus 102 Blue Jays. Those are the money line numbers. Total at 8.5. What happens today between the Brew Crew and the Blue Jays?
Take a look at Jose Berríos on the mound here. Not too bad of a season. 128 batters, by the way, over the past 30 days. Decent numbers with ISO power here at a 157 and a weighted on base percentage of 302. The problem is he doesn't strike out a lot of batters, which means balls do get put into play. However, you take a look at the lineup that we're associating tonight with the Brewers against right-handed pitching over the past month. Hasn't been all of that great. Rhys Hoskins, 31 at-bats against right-handed pitching, a 259 ISO and a 380 weighted on base percentage. Probably the best of it here. But let's flip it over to the other side, because I do think this is an intriguing matchup. Colin Ray is going to be on the mound. If we take a look at the ISO power numbers and weighted on base percentages here, they're actually high over the past 30 days. A 190 ISO and a 347 weighted on base percentage if we include lefty and righty batters. But righties, he's been getting out at a pretty good clip. Lefties have been doing a lot of damage against him. But when we take a look at that roster here for the Toronto Blue Jays, it's always right-handed dominant. There'll be a couple lefties in the lineup today. Spencer Horwitz just got brought up here. No real statistics to go off of here with right-handed pitching as a lefty here. Dalton Varsho might be the best play in the lineup. 71 at-bats against right-handed pitching over the past month, Ben. Yeah. A 338 ISO and a 342 weighted on base percentage. Now, having said that, 6 to 7 of these batters are plus against right-handed pitching, but also keep in mind, as I said, the lefties are doing the damage, and we don't have a lot of left-handed batters in this lineup tonight for Toronto. So something does have to give. I actually would give a slight bump here, though, to Toronto in this game. I think their lineup has a better capability of hitting, and I do think they have the better pitcher on the mound.
So when we look at Milwaukee, the Brew Crew swept last week in Philadelphia in their midweek set, then went to Detroit, won the first two games, lost the finale yesterday. Terry Skubal continues to light it up. He is now 8-1 with a 1.92 ERA, 10 Ks yesterday, and a 10-2 victory for the Tigers over the Brewers. But I'll make this point about Milwaukee. 6.5 game lead, 11 games above 500. And again, 6.5 game advantage in the National League Central. A lot of baseball left to play. The Reds playing better. The Cardinals finding their footing. Even the Pirates are pretty good. And can the Cubbies ever turn it around? We shall see. But Milwaukee is only being booked as a minus 180 favorite to win the National League Central. Yeah, it's still minus money. But when are we going to start to see the odds truly grow in Milwaukee's favor? I still think you're getting a pretty good price on the Brew Crew. Where is the fork as we enter this new week for the Houston Astros? They won the weekend set against the Angels in Anaheim. They keep it going now in California. Up to the Bay they go against the Giants, where Houston and Spencer Arrighetti booked as a slight favorite today by the Bay, total at 8.
Pure pitchers ballpark, not great pitchers on the mound, though. You take a look at Kyle Harrison on the season, a 162 ISO and a 342 weighted on base percentage, which isn't bad here. If you fast forward that over to the past 30 days, it does rise slightly at a 187 ISO and a 384 weighted on base percentage. Right-handed batters getting the best of him. He is a left-handed pitcher. 93 batters that he's faced over the past month, a 205 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 389. If you look at the lineup, it looks decent here for the Houston Astros. A lot of right-handers will be in that lineup. The only lefty predicted, which would be Yordan Alvarez. So I do think they have a legitimate shot on their end. If we flip it over to the other side, Spencer Arrighetti, who opened up the season not very good at all, but over the past 30 days, he's been much better, Ben. 111 batters. Yeah. He's faced an ISO of 074 and a weighted on base percentage of 294. You know that lineup for the Giants isn't really all that great. So if we're saying to ourselves, all right, Arrighetti is going to be on the road, so you get a little bit of a downgrade. But again, it's a true pitcher's ballpark as opposed to where he usually pitches down in Houston, which is a hitter's ballpark. Give me a slight lean towards the Houston Astros in this game, as maybe that fork continues to stay out of them here.
Right now, a slight favorite, and to Donnie's point, yeah, Arrighetti has been much better in the last 2 weeks, pretty much the last month for Houston. And we know the Astros need all the pitching help they can get with the injuries starting to stack up for that H-Town staff. Now we go to the only team in the American League West that is above 500. That's the Seattle Mariners. In fact, the only team in the AL West that is three games below 500 or better. The Seattle Mariners at minus 210 right now, a hefty favorite against MLB's worst team, the Chicago White Sox, who did snap a 14-game losing skid this weekend against the Red Sox. They actually split the weekend series, a four-game set in the Battle of the Sox, but still the only team in Major League Baseball to not reach the 20-win threshold. They only have 17 at this moment. Should it be an easy Monday start for the M's?
I don't know if it's going to be that easy, and I don't know if that price point is all that warranted, because let's take a look. Logan Gilbert's a very good pitcher, and where are they playing at? In Seattle, which is notorious for being a true pitcher's ballpark. But having said that, Luis Robert's back in the lineup, hitting very well right out of the gate. Paul DeJong has been absolutely sensational over the past month against right-handed pitching, a 300 ISO and a 392 weighted on base percentage. And as I said, you do have some good splits there for Logan Gilbert. One of those guys in Major League Baseball over the past couple years, particularly with the Washington Nationals that you love to fade, was Eric Fetty. But take look at his seasonal numbers here, Ben. 311 batters he's faced, a 133 ISO and a 291 weighted on base percentage. That actually has improved over the past month to an 088 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 279. That's not a great hitting lineup for Seattle today. You probably will be looking more towards the under, but this might be a sneaky chance to take the White Sox at close to a 2-1 price here.
Yeah, the team with the third worst record in Major League Baseball, that's the Colorado Rockies. They have 23 wins, but they're a hefty underdog on the road today in Minnesota. The Twins, a minus 230 home money line favorite. Over under is 8. What happens today in Minneapolis?
Yeah, one of the more talented players on the Rockies, I believe, went to the IL yesterday with Rodgers, so already an incomplete lineup that's going to show up. But Chris Paddock, you take a look at the Minnesota Twins as a favorite in this game.
Yeah.
Not all that great on the mound. Last month here, 119 batters faced, close to a 200 on his ISO power number and a weighted on-base percentage right around average at 322. The question is going to be is what performance are we going to get out of Dakota Hudson here? 117 batters he's faced, Ben, actually pretty good. At a 127 ISO power number and a weighted on-base percentage of 295, but he does get dominated by left-handed bats. The only question is, how many lefties are going to be in the lineup today for those Minnesota Twins? Tough price point there.
Donnie, you mentioned this Monday slate, short, albeit not your favorite in just 7 games. Maybe some plus money sprinkles in a best bet next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Only 7 games on this Monday MLB slate, in 3 of the 7 feature a team that is greater than a $2 favorite. Might we see some plus money sprinkles? Donnie just kind of broke it down where the two previous $2 favorites in Minnesota, the Twins against the Rocks, maybe not deserving of it. And in Seattle, the Mariners against the worst team in MLB, that's the Chicago White Sox. Donnie's not sure that in that game, the Mariners are deserving of that $2 price.
Mm-mm.
What about in San Diego? In the California contest between the Athletics and the Padres, the Pods minus 220, but below 500 this season.
Yeah, this might be a sneaky total to the over game, even though some of these offenses might be better off against some different matchups. You take a look at Estes on the mound today, 107 batters he's faced over the past 30 days. You take a look at his ISO power number, 182, and a weighted on-base percentage of 277. It's not all that bad, but he does get damaged a bit by left-handed batters. The only question, again, is going to be how many lefties will we see from San Diego tonight? Looks like a Rise, Profar, Cronenworth, Peralta, and Merrill. So 5 out of the 9 batters he anticipated to be from the left side. That might be a little sneaky there. And also Oakland on the other side. Dylan Cease is on the mound. You take a look at his seasonal statistics through 305 batters he's faced. It's very good, Ben. At a 138 ISO with a weighted on base percentage of 255. But let's just go in the last 30 days and have a 120 batter view. 207 ISO, 347 weighted on base percentage. The lineup doesn't present all that well for Oakland, but both lefty batters and righty batters are getting the best of Dylan Cease over the past month here. JJ Bleday, who late in the game yesterday cashed an RBI prop for me, he's the best in that lineup. 92 at bats against right-handed pitching over the past month, 259 ISO, 352 weighted on base percentage. Even though the numbers don't show all that great for either one of these lineups, I think these two pitchers can be hit tonight, and maybe a total looks like that should be in the cards.
I mean, it's just 7, right? I think that 7 is baking in that Dylan Cease gets the start for San Diego, who has been good for a good majority of this MLB campaign. But it really is fascinating in the National League West, where the Dodgers have been dominant. They've won the divisional crown 10 of the last 11 years. And this year, they were booked as a heavy favorite, of course, with all that they did this offseason. Greater than a $6 favorite to begin this year, minus 600 to win the National League West. Now it's even more than that, as the Dodgers have an 8-game lead, and nobody else in the division is above 500 except for LA. Now time to give you a best bet on this Monday. Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final. Mm. Some action around Major League Baseball. Maybe some college baseball action, or in the W we go. So before we say farewell and before we say goodbye, it is time for Bye Bye Bye. What is Donnie Wrightside's best bet on this Monday evening?
Let's take a look. We talked about Chris Paddock being the man for the Minnesota Twins and a heavy favorite here, but you take a look at him struggling on the season and the past 30 days against right-handed batters. So we're going to take a little bit of a long shot here. Number 2 in the lineup we expect tonight will be Ezekiel Tovar. Take a look at this. 82 at-bats against right-handed pitching over the past month. A .346 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of .459. You just hope there's some ducks on the pond that he can drive in, because his price point here at the FanDuel Sportsbook today, a +210 to get an RBI. We're going to go Tovar, the Colorado Rockies, to cash in with an RBI at a nice price tonight.
Listen, DRS said, not his favorite Monday slate that you will see, only 7 games around Major League Baseball. And some of the matchups, at least from the odds maker's perspective, seem rather lopsided. So if we give you a ribby prop, take it where you can. Again, maybe we look at Kansas City tonight. Seth Lugo on the bump. The Royals an underdog against the Yankees. That's probably the marquee matchup on this Monday night slate. It's a lefty, Carlos Rodon, getting the start for New York, but always got to start a Royal conversation with our guy Vinny P, the Pasquatch Vinny Pasquantino. Now, I'm a little bit sad at this moment that the FanDuel Sportsbook does not have the odds out for the winner-take-all Game 3 tonight in Athens between Georgia and NC State for the final spot in the Omaha 8 for the last ticket to be punched in the Men's College World Series. I would expect Georgia at home in Athens in this best of three in the finale to be favored, but I'm going to look at the total. And we saw this last week. There were 4 winner-take-all elimination games on Regional Monday. All 4 stayed under what is a double-digit total more than likely in a college baseball game. And you might be thinking, Ben, you're crazy. Have you seen the scores in Athens? NC State won Game 1 over the Dogs, 18-1. Georgia responded yesterday with an 11-2 victory over the Pack. But it is everything at stake. It is all hands on deck for the final spot in Omaha. I think that keeps us under a total that will be in double digits. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. That does it for this Monday here on the Early Line. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Tuesday, 8 a.m. Eastern time, here on The Grid.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games, and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money.